From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams. It's a great Monday, the 10th. We're on the phone today with Mark Skalberg. He is with Starting Over on the Inside. It's a life-changing program equipping offenders with needed character qualities and life skills for their successful return to society. Mark, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Appreciate the time.
Well, I know I heard a brief segment with you last week, and you were talking with Steve Ryman. Steve's always gracious to allow me to come in on Mondays and do some interviews occasionally. I had a chance to talk with you about a year ago, I think, Mark, when you were kind of first starting up. Tell us a little bit about Mark Skalberg. Before I ask you that, I probably should tell you about our listeners, Mark.
Okay.
People that listen to our station throughout New Mexico are really listening intently. And I think largely because they want to be involved somehow. A lot of them are givers. Mm-hmm. A lot of financial support comes from a lot of people. A lot of them want to volunteer. A lot of them want to give you prayer support. Mm-hmm. And they're just people that are listening with intention, not just as background mm-hmm. noise. So they're largely people of faith. But I will say that I've been contacted by a few people that have not made a decision for Christ. In fact, there may be some people that have been incarcerated that are listening, and this is going to mm-hmm. be a very encouraging show to you as Mark tells you a little bit about how he is helping people that have been incarcerated, and it's just an amazing ministry.
Thank you, Jim. I don't even know where to begin when you ask me about me. How far, kudos to the station, in the sense that the audience wants to be engaged, and that's not always true with most radio stations, so I'm glad that they want to be engaged. When you have people wanting to volunteer, that opens up a door for so many opportunities. So kudos to your audience.
Well, they're just amazing people. I mean, I like a good country western song like anybody, but I really, really love listening to worship music, and I really love listening to Bible teachers. And this is not, you know, even though we're on the campus of Calvary Church in Albuquerque, this is not a Calvary deal. Most of the mm-hmm. teachers that teach every day on KLYT are teachers from all kinds of different denominations. It's a well-rounded, you'll get a lot of encouragement from people. I think I've gotten feedback from people, for example, in the Santa Fe State Penitentiary that listen to teaching programs, like they listen to John MacArthur, or they listen to Skip Heitzig, or, they're encouraged because they can almost do that every day and actually never duplicate a message.
No, that's good. That's good.
So, yeah. Mark, you are up in Colorado, starting over on the inside. Obviously, people are going to think about the intent of that name, which is inside a prison. You're going to start over mm-hmm. and get ready to come out. And you're also going to start over on the inside of your heart and inside.
That's right.
And so you are working toward both ends. How did you get involved in starting this ministry?
Well, a little bit of history. Starting over, it's called Starting Over on the Inside, obviously intentionally, as you just said, inside and out of the heart. But Starting Over has been around 30 plus years. It's a workshop I've been doing for in the past for people who have gone through loss, either death of a loved one or divorce or separation. So it has been around for more than 30 years, and it was kind of recrafted for the prison population because the same issues that come with losses of relationships certainly apply to inmates. For people that have gone through regular relationship loss, unfortunately, really it impacts everything, their life, their job, their kids, their their mindset, their spirituality. And for the prisoner, they've lost all that, but they've lost their self-respect for a large degree. So Starting Over has been around a long time. There's been about 6,000 people have attended it, either on site or online or on video. But it was recrafted for the prison population and taught for the first time about 3 years ago. So that's the origins of it.
Mm. And you've made amazing headway. It's not just a ministry now, but you are working in close cooperation with Colorado officials as well, aren't you?
That's correct. That is correct.
How have you achieved that?
I will say it is a God story, and I'll try to be as brief as I can, but the former executive director who just resigned in November on election day, here in Colorado was a believer, and he attended the church I used to be a pastor at here in Colorado Springs, Woodman Valley Chapel. And I met him. I had a radio show at a Christian radio station up here in Colorado Springs, and met him, and I showed him the curriculum, and he realized it was Christ-centered. I knew he was a believer. And then he asked me, what was I doing next Tuesday? And I said, why do you ask? And he said, I want you to do a presentation starting over to all of our wardens in the state of Colorado. And that's an unprecedented request and opportunity. That was a mandatory meeting with every warden, 22 wardens, and every volunteer coordinator who vets any program in any prison in Colorado, plus the chaplains. And I didn't say no, and I did the presentation. And I was a full-time local ministry director for a Christian radio station up here at the time. And then I started getting calls from wardens in prisons to offer the program. And then that really motivated me to ask all of my friends, to pray for me of what's next step for me was starting over. So that's kind of the origins to, and the connection to the head of all the prisons in the state of Colorado. And that really, that opportunity doesn't happen with anybody, not even prison fellowship. And so I knew that was a God thing.
Absolutely. One of the, in preparation for the interview, you sent me some information, and I kind of circled two or three statements that you made. And one of those is, we help inmates to change their view of their past behavior. How do you do that? What is it you want them to know about, and what perspective do you want them to have about their past?
Yeah, well, as we both know, and your listeners, that, you know, we all make choices that could have been better. And for some of those choices, for some people, leads to incarceration. But preceding incarceration, there's all kinds of family dynamics and dysfunction and, you know, crime and sin and all the stuff that, you know, maybe all of us experienced to some extent. And they've developed some different kinds of thinking of how they perceive reality and life. And so what we're trying to help them rethink is, and my belief is that the Spirit of God, once the Spirit indwells somebody, it changes their heart and their mind and their motivation, and hopefully opens up their door to be receptive to not only changing their life and making better choices, but to do it because they want to honor God. And then that gives them, I hope, a motivation that wants them to learn new skills. And that means relational skills as well, that maybe they were lacking relationally in families that were there or not there for them. And so we're trying to help them think differently about how they do life. And that certainly is biblical principles, but it's things like responsibility and accountability and integrity and telling the truth. And sometimes a lot of those people that are incarcerated don't have those character qualities, so let alone the regular culture, but it's more acute for them. And so we try to not only share the gospel in a way that's winsome, that makes them want to ask questions about what it is to have faith in Christ, and then that enables them to have a different kind of motivation, not what I'm doing it, but who am I doing it for? And hopefully that opens up that door for them to really change while they're still inside.
Mark, I have kind of a selfish intention in talking with you about this topic. I'm a New Mexican, been here my entire life. Okay. We obviously have maybe even greater problems in our prison facilities and things that are going on in our state that we wish would be corrected. So I'm praying that either what you're doing is going to be a model for us, or that there might even be some amazing way that God brings you guys down to our state. And I know that you haven't promised any of that. That's not necessarily even in the plan, but you're doing a great job right now in Colorado. And I think we need to learn about that and think about that, and we need to support that effort as much as we can. Talk about a little bit about the complexities that that inmates are going to face when they come out of prison, because the world does change. If you go in for 10 years, it's a little different than when you went in.
No, that's the understatement. Now, of course, that would depend on how long, as you just alluded to, how long they've been incarcerated. So the longer they've been incarcerated, the harder it's probably going to be. For example, there are guys and women that have gotten out who've never owned a cell phone, they did when it first came out, or they haven't been online.
I would say they're truly blessed.
Perhaps so, my friend, perhaps so. And but you know, that is, you know, they don't know how to operate it. They got, and by the way, speaking of that, but the reality is, even though I agree with you, we all need a phone to live life today, because when you get out, you can't get to a job interview without a phone, right? You all the job interviews that they go on are online, right?
Right.
And they gotta have a phone. So you know, you're right, the technical pieces, the pace of life, and of course, they might, most likely, they're going to be released to the county or the area that they were arrested at. And maybe that's not the best place to go to, because they're going back to the same old neighborhood or the hood or whatever, or the same family. And that might not be the best, but that's just the way it works. And so unless they have, if they're going to be released to a county they've never been to, parole's probably not going to do it, because they have no support whatsoever. So the challenge is, and as some of the people running for president right now on the Republican side are talking about, the loss of fatherhood. Well, that's a major piece of this. And so if the family's disintegrated, which is the majority of incarcerated people, then they don't have the people to go to when they get out. So if you burned your bridges with your mom, your dad, your siblings, your former, maybe your kids, unfortunately, who do you actually go to for support? So it's the relationships, Jim. We might provide them a job and a place to live that parole will approve, but then they have to reconnect with people, with their family. And if they don't, or they don't have that, then they need a place of support, which is where we come in, or a church, hopefully local church, will embrace them if they're a Christ follower. And so it is tough. I mean, it is really tough for them to make that transition. And the reality is, Jim, that we teach them, we're trying to help make that reality, or their plan to get out before they get out. If they start thinking, making up a plan when they get out, just 6 months before they get out, they're in trouble already. And so they need to be making a plan. We like to say your exit plan begins when you come in, but they don't have the wherewithal at that time to think that way of their future.
I want to, let's take a break here because I have a couple of questions, and it'll give me a couple seconds to even frame how I want to ask this, because COVID has brought about some kind of,
absolutely,
almost sickness on people where they're down, right, and they're having trouble getting out of it. And you describe prisoners as having failures and challenges and making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you, when we come out of the break, I'm going to ask you about how do you encourage people to live free and to forget and receive forgiveness and go on with life? That's what I want to ask you when we come back.
Yeah, right on.
We'll be back with Mark Skalberg. He is the director of Starting Over on the Inside. We'll be right back right after these messages.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
We are back on ABQ Connect with Mark Skalberg. Mark is the founder and director of Starting Over on the Inside. He works with prisoners and prison ministry. In fact, Mark, I kind of had to laugh a little bit because I was exchanging some text messages with you, and one of your return messages to me about a couple days ago was, oh, I don't get out of prison until 8 o'clock. I'll have to call you back then. And it just made me check for a second, because really you are going to prison. You are working with prisoners. And I find that just to be an amazing thing that you're willing to spend that time and go call on people and love people that are in very difficult situations.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm going. I'm also a chaplain, among other things. But no, I'm in the prisons, at least three different prisons a week.
Yeah. Well, and I find that, do you have people that are in leadership for you in the prisons, maybe prisoners?
Yes, I do. And with this workshop, because the workshop has there are 2 hours in length, usually an hour and a half to 2 hours long, 8 weeks long. We have 30 to 40 people in a workshop, and then we break into small groups. And then I train offenders for leadership pieces to actually co-facilitate the small groups. And so we've trained offenders in several of the prisons, but I also have trained, you know, volunteers from the outside to come in with, that have been helping me facilitate for decades. So they come in with me along with the people I train on the inside. And so the upside of that, Jim, is that the offenders that receive small group training, they're not just, oh yeah, be a small group leader. We help them with some skills and some boundaries and some guidelines, ground rules that will enable them to be the best possible, you know, job they can as a facilitator. And they can use those verbal and people skills, not only while they're in the inside, but when they get out as well.
Well, let's go back to what I said a little bit earlier. There's something going on with people, and I'm sure it has some degree of being spiritual at some degree. The Bible says we fight against principalities and powers. Somebody told me that condemning other people is not as epidemic as people condemning themselves. Do you think that's true?
I think it's very true. Absolutely it is. And that's people on the inside and outside.
Yes.
And I really wonder, Jim, if there's any difference.
And there may not be. Some people may feel like they're in prison. I mean, a lot of people I know, they don't even want to come out of their house.
No. And I think that's been accelerated, as you mentioned in the previous segment, with COVID. That is compacted not only older people, you know, that aren't going to church anymore or whatever, but it's younger people that are used to not going to work because they're used to working from home.
Yes. Mark, how could a person begin to care for other people? I mean, it's not like you want to take a person that is feeling like we've just described and say, mm-hmm. okay, you got to go outside and jog 5 miles and go to church. And you're not going to get them to do that. But they may not know that the Holy Spirit will move in their lives and God will minister to others through them, even from their home, if they choose him to do that.
Sure. Absolutely.
How could they help you? Yes. How could they be part of starting over on the inside?
Are you talking with the listeners now?
Yes.
Well, you know, certainly praying for the ministry foremostly, praying for fruit, that God bears much fruit as a result of our endeavor and our opportunities that God provides, and that there would be open hearts to receive the gospel, because evangelism is a huge part of obviously what we do. And when you think about it, that you alluded to in our first segment, starting over is a great phrase, because in the end of the day, your listeners included, we all have to start over sooner or later, inevitably in our life with relationship or, location, vocation. So for people on the inside, or for the listener rather, not only praying for the ministry and those things, but potentially giving or being a partner with us to enable us to reach more people. And as you asked me earlier, we have been contacted by Texas and North Dakota so far. And those were not things I reached out to. They reached out to me and said, we want to bring the program here. And so if it comes to New Mexico, then there's other opportunity for people in the prisons of New Mexico that are listeners to be volunteers.
Mm. I just
potentially.
I just absolutely love this. You put together a little some talking points for us, and Hebrews 13:3 says, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were with them in prison." That's a really interesting statement, and it's an interesting challenge made to believers.
Yeah.
What do you think that means?
Well, you know, you could certainly, and many of your, some of your listeners would be aware of Matthew 25, you know, where Jesus talked about when you visited me in prison and I was naked and I was poor, all this. You know, people usually refer to that passage in Matthew 25, but this is very similar to that. Mm-hmm. And that I think the point of that piece there is God reaches out to the least of these. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe your listener feels like they're the least of these. But for the people that have been neglected and stereotyped and stigmatized and left for dead, I guess, when they know, or someone comes to a listener listening right now, or to somebody in prison and know that they have not been forgotten, well, God knows their name. He knows their stories. You know, they matter to him. And you know what? We haven't forgotten. When one person remembers, like a listener or the volunteers I bring in, it's a breath of fresh air. And I would tell you that for people that are incarcerated, it's definitely a dehumanizing environment. But, you know, when they meet someone like a chaplain or a volunteer that comes in and actually looks at them in the eyes and actually listens to them, maybe that's the first time in a long time that anybody's even taken the time to ask how they're doing. Mm. And you and I could say that could be true on the outside.
Yes.
But on the inside, it's so magnified. So, you know, when I bring volunteers in with me to these different prisons, the people, the prisoners, men and women, are so grateful that someone would even want to come in to meet them or to say hi to them or to shake their hand. And I mean, it can and it does bring tears to my eyes. Because honestly, Jim, I think I see more thankful people in prison than I do outside of prison.
Mm, yes. Well, and I think that's amazing. I mean, I think we, if you are comfortable in your life, a lot of times everything else is out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
And that's not the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be constantly aware of the people around us and the plight of others and ministering to people. And as we said, you know, Hebrews 13, continue to remember those in prison as if you were with them in prison. I mean, that's a big qualifier, as if you were with them.
It is. I hope I didn't gloss over that question, but I do think that you're right. Now, if we didn't happen to read that verse, if we're reading through Hebrews or in a church is actually going maybe verse by verse and you stumble across that verse or Matthew 25, but when you really think about it, how often do you talk about that, right? Mm.
Yes.
You know, it could be issues like even abortion or human sexuality. You know, a lot of people aren't going to talk about it from the pulpit unless they're in the text, the biblical text. But when you come to this and you talk about, let's say it's the Good Samaritan parable, you're going to the person that's been ostracized, that you can't stand, that you don't even want to go to. They're kind of a no count in your own mind. Jesus is actually saying, we need to go to those people. Yeah. So if there's nothing, I don't know what a greater challenge, if it's to these people that are incarcerated, to a refugee, when they know that someone actually cares about them, you are their friend for life.
Have you seen?
They will not forget you.
Mark, have you seen life change? You've been doing this a little bit over 3 years. Have you seen life change? Could you share a story with us?
Yeah, but let me also tell you, I've been a chaplain for 10 years, you know, in one prison here in Colorado. So, you know, I've seen hundreds, probably thousands of people. But yes, I would say that when you see a story of transformation, it is apparent to everybody. And ironically, that's the way it should be when we come to Christ, that we are a new creation. All things become new. And you see it. You see it in their change, the way they think, change their language, but really change their worldview and how they perceive the value of a human being. And I think when I see that life change, and then you really see it when they get out and when they really have to live what you and I have to live every day. But their challenges are so much greater than ours. They're not lulled to sleep. I mean, they better be a good boy and a good girl to stay outside and not go back. So there's all kinds of motivation. So yes, but when you see it, Jim, I don't know if I could go back to I came out of the Jesus Revolution, the movie that came out recently. Mm-hmm. And so for people like me or Chip Lesko or Skip Heisig or maybe even yourself, when we see that kind of transformation, everybody else sees it too. Mm-hmm. And so when you see it, it's so apparent. It's not a question like what happened to that guy, because they know it can only be explained in terms of who Jesus is.
Mm, absolutely. When you think about, I want to go back to the self-condemnation thing. There are people in the Christian community I see all the time that are so worried about shame.
Right.
And what they don't realize is that when you actually confess sin to one another, as the Bible says, there's no shame. What ends up happening is God uses frailties in our lives, sin in our lives, to not only heal us, but change other people if we confess those sins. Is that true with the people that you're working with?
Yeah, and I think, it's interesting. The sins that we talk about of incarcerated people are the same sins that you and I have to struggle with in the common population and your listeners. Maybe different, but when it comes to shame and regret, I mean, many even Christ followers will struggle with that of their past. And one of the sessions we have is session 3, is what forgiveness is and what it's not. And we kind of give them biblical perspective of what forgiveness is. And you know what? A lot of people have never heard a biblical view of forgiveness. And if they don't have the vertical idea between God forgiving us, but if they do get that, and they understand the gospel that God has sent his son for their forgiveness. And if they receive that forgiveness, then it kind of makes sense that they would forgive themselves. And that is like a big aha to many of the inside people when they realize, you know what, it kind of makes sense. If he's forgiven me and went to the cross and paid the ultimate price for me, I probably ought to forgive myself. And that becomes such a huge release. But I would tell you that that's probably one of the biggest sessions out of the eight sessions. And those are the kind of things when they call, when they're people on their phone list, their moms, their dads, their family members, that's what they tell them on the phone. You know, I've forgiven myself. I'm not going to beat myself up anymore. I've asked his forgiveness. I've forgiven. I'm going to look through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. And I want to start moving forward and looking at what God has for me. And so I think that is a huge part of, you know, personal regret and shame. If you don't bring it to the cross, you got nowhere else to go. Yes, confessing your sins for other people, therapist, whatever. But it, unless you get it, it gets, first of all, comes from him directly, then it kind of makes sense that I ought to forgive myself.
Mm, very good. Mark Skalberg is the founder and director of Starting Over on the Inside. They are a Colorado prison ministry doing some amazing things with amazing results, already getting interest from many other states. I'm going to be praying that New Mexico gets interested. And Mark, we've got two more segments with you. When we come back, perfect, I'm going to ask you a little bit about your curriculum and the different classes that you have and have you review those for us. Because as you mentioned, this is all the outgrowth of even your ministry with people that are really hurting and have experienced tremendous loss. So you have a diverse background and a long time of experience, and you have a heart to love hurting people. And I really appreciate you being with us today to talk
Thank
to our
you,
listeners.
Jim. Thank you.
We'll be back with Mark Skalberg. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We are back on ABQ Connect. Thank you so much for joining us. We're on the phone with Mark Skalberg today. He is the founder and director of Starting Over on the Inside. It's a life-changing program equipping offenders, prisoners, with the needed character qualities and life skills they need for a successful return to society. Boy, that is a lot. Mark, you're committing yourself not just to share the love of Christ with someone, but to walk through life with them so that they can be restored. That is a big commitment.
It is. You're right.
And you love it. You're seeing some fruit of the ministry.
I'm seeing a lot of fruit. Yeah, there's no boring day, let me put it that way.
Yeah. Well, and just like, you know, just like regular life. I mean, all of us, even if we may not be in prison for it, we still make bad decisions. We still have sin. Are prisoners more or less sensitive? I guess I would ask maybe a different question. Are they hardened by their experience in prison, or are they softened to hear the gospel?
You know, that is a really, really good question. It's been debated, you know, for a long time. I would say that I believe they're hardened for sure. And I do think the prison system that should be, I believe, and other people would agree with me, needs to be reformed nationwide. I know Trump talked about it a while back, of prison, federal prison reform. But prison reform, if you make a person worse when they go in, at the end of the day, they're going to get out. Okay, so like an example, in New Mexico, you have 5,500 incarcerated people. Well, out of those 5,500, depending on the length of sentence, they're going to be in your neighborhoods. So if a prison system makes them even more hardened when they get in, it's going to be more difficult for their transition and for the communities they go into. So to answer your question, yes, they are hardened for all the above reasons, and many of them are repeat offenders. But on the other hand, the difference between on the inside of prison and on the outside, at least the people on the inside know they are sinners. Mm. You don't have to convince them that they need forgiveness
yes.
or that they've done anything wrong. So unlike the culture that we live in today, that, no, I'm not a sinner, I'm a really nice person. Well, they know that they haven't been a really nice person. That's what got them to where they are. And so that, though, opens up the door for the gospel. But I think when they realize that, what other choices do I have? What kind of hope can I place myself with, or who? So the question in Starting Over is, who or what are you placing your hope in? And if you're placing it in anything other than a relationship with Jesus Christ through, you know, with a relationship with him, it's in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. But if they can, to the answer to your question, I do think they're open, but they need to be in an environment where it feels open enough where they can expose themselves and realize they need to confess Christ. And so, yes, I can do it in an altar call at a big yard event with 300 guys, or I could do it with 30 people who come up to me and tell me their story, or a facilitator, and lead them to Christ right there. And then we have the ability to follow them up in the prison, and they're not going nowhere.
Yes.
Right?
Well, so, and you mentioned follow-up, though, and the reason I made the statement that you're walking, you're not only preparing people for life, but you're walking into life with these people, kind of their second chance, if you will, is you're helping them with jobs, you're helping them with a lot of different things. There's a couple stats that you sent me. You said more than 50% of Colorado's released prisoners reoffend. I guess they call that the recidivism rate. What do you hope?
That's correct.
What is happening with the recidivism and your program? Are you able to lower that number?
Well, that is our hope and our goal, really. Mm-hmm. And but the question is, most prison cycles in most states are based upon 3-year cycles, and that is, when we talk about recidivism, 50% return to prison, that's based upon the 3 to 5 year cycle. So if they come back within 3 years or 5 years, that's part of that 50%. But our goal is to lower that recidivism. Give me a financial example. In Colorado, and I'm not sure what it is in New Mexico, but it costs $44,000 a year per prisoner, state taxes, to pay for just one offender. So you can do the math. If you have 10 people, you're saving the state $500,000 if you can keep 10 people out of prison. I mean, that when you do the math, do it by 100, then you're talking about millions, up to 20, 60, you know, whatever million. It's the biggest expense in Colorado, the state of Colorado, is the prison system. And so if we can lower the recidivism rate from a very pragmatic view, it saves the taxpayer all kinds of money. But the reality is, we want to help them not to return by them having a relationship with Christ and then doing the follow-up and making sure they're staying right with the Lord, hopefully, and the relationships they're getting support from.
Yeah. You know, I had an opportunity after I played college basketball at the University of New Mexico. For a short time, I played basketball with Athletes in Action. And we would play in a college. And so I had the opportunity, and I won't name the college, but I was all excited to share the gospel at halftime. We played very competitively. In fact, we didn't. When I was there, and I'm not aware of any games that we lost, we had really, really good players.
But
right before the half, one of my opponents on the other team went up for a rebound, and the ball was coming down about to hit the rim, and he jumped up in the air, mistiming his jump. So the ball hit the rim, and then I jumped up. So he's coming down while I'm going up, and just purely by accident, my shoulder hit him right in the jaw and broke his jaw. Now, instantly, all the fans were booing me, because I just hurt one of their best players. So guess who had to come out of halftime and share the gospel? So I'm thinking about that incident. And by the way, the fans ended up being very gracious toward me, but they weren't real receptive at the beginning, you know, because I spoke for about 10 minutes. But I'm thinking about hard hearts in prison, and you have a curriculum. Yeah. You've alluded to it. You alluded to one of your segments. Talk to us a little bit about that curriculum and how it's divided up.
Yeah, funny story. To share the gospel after that's a tough one. But thankfully, didn't you say it was a Christian college? Is that what he said?
No, it was actually at a secular college. But athletes, when I was with Athletes in Action, we played these games, and we just had a chance to share the gospel. And you know, I basically just made an apology, and I actually prayed with the crowd that he would be okay. And that's when their hearts softened. But I was scared to death.
Cool story.
You know, I was scared to death. But I can't imagine. I just can't imagine the life that you mentioned. Lack of fathers, and so many prisoners, both men and women, they did not have fathers. They did not have that role model. May not have had mothers. So I'm thinking about those hearts and how your curriculum is reaching them.
Yeah, Jim, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate the kind of questions that you're posing. And, you know, this workshop, remember, I told you, has been around, 30 years. So some of the pieces of the workshop are still exist, that it's inside the prison. We've added 3 different weeks about personal leadership and responsibility and having a plan before you get out. But But if I could, I could just tell you a little bit. The first week, the first session, as far as the curriculum, we talk about growth and healing. And we talk about, you know, the stages of loss, stages of grief. And when you really think about it, a lot of prisoners or a lot of people, or even your listeners maybe, have never processed their loss with the loss of a loved one, a relationship that maybe they didn't want to lose. And they've never really processed their grief, maybe. But, you know, when you think about it, and that is probably millions of people in our culture, but people that are inside, they've committed a crime, and with that crime, they've left a wake of wounded people, either victims or family members that are deeply disappointed in them. And they've never really processed their loss because they're just trying to get through prison. And if they were to talk about their loss, who are they going to talk with? It's going to be their therapist that they have, and a mental health professional, or their case manager, which many times they don't really care. They have too many cases and too many prisoners. So when we talk about loss, we talk about loss in a really open-ended way. What does loss do to us, but where does it drive us? And then we take them to some biblical principles that's going to help them process their loss in a way that they've never really talked before. And so we talk about that. Then we break into small groups. The facilitator asks some open-ended, crafted questions that spin around the session. And the questions, you know, talk about their loss. And if they want to know more, they can come and see me as in chaplain's office or the chaplain of the prison that I'm in. So we talk about that and loss, and that opens up their heart, Jim, to being open that, man, I've lost a lot. I just don't want to think about it. And when they start thinking about it, I say, what do you do with that? Where do you go with that? You know, and God is a God who actually cares. He cares about our deepest pain, and God doesn't want to waste our pain. He wants to use it to help us, to help others. And then we go to session two, which is understanding your identity.
Hey, Mark, and that is, I want to give you plenty of time to get through these. We are up against a break. Let me take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of the curriculum, because this is just great stuff. So thank you so much for sharing it. We have one more segment with Mark Skalberg.
Okay.
We hope you all stay with us. This is we're talking about the Starting Over on the Inside Ministry, amazing work they're doing with prisoners in Colorado and soon to be elsewhere around the country. We'll be back with Mark. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
On the phone with Mark Skalberg, his ministry is called Starting Over on the Inside. He's the founder and director. He's been a chaplain, pastoring and being a chaplain in prisoners, always had a heart for people that have had great loss. And Mark, I'm still amazed that you're meeting with people that for most of us are out of sight and out of mind, and you're showing them love and compassion and interest, and you have others coming alongside you, joining you in the ministry. And maybe before we talk about the rest of your curriculum, we've talked about the first segment when you get together with people, but before we go on to the remaining segments, tell us how our listeners can be involved.
Yeah, Jim, thank you so much for the opportunity and that request. And, you know, how they can get involved, you know, for us, for this ministry to be successful, it needs to be sustainable. And that is why, as I mentioned earlier, we're training chaplains in each individual prison and offenders that run the program themselves inside each facility. The program is on video as well. So a chaplain with direction and training can run the program via video with the offenders trained facilitators to run that program. So we've trained three chaplains so far, and then even some of them have been part-time employees that we pay to actually, you know, run the program, so we can have up to 3 to 4 workshops a week. And so we would be incredibly honored, you know, if any of your listeners would like to be part of our support team. And, you know, when you really think about it, Jim, you know, we're reaching the least reached people group in our country, 2.3 million people that are incarcerated. And a lot of people, as you said earlier, aren't just running to them. And so we would be honored any kind of support, not only as we talked about prayerfully, but, you know, supporting not only their transformation of the prisoner, but their families, their community, and all the other people around them. And they can just go to, you know, the KYLTFM banner and click the donate button if they'd like to give.
Yes.
Or find out more about the ministry. It takes them to a website, has testimonies and podcasts and pictures of the almost 700 graduates that you can see of the graduating classes.
So if you go to our website, klyt.fm, that's klyt.fm, you can click on the banner starting over on the inside, and that'll take you to the information that Mark's referring to now. And Mark, what I laugh about when you will be amazed. I mean, we have got some people that are literally prayer warriors. And if I don't follow up with you on the show every 6 or 8 weeks, they will email me or they will call me, and they'll have a little concern in their voice, like, Jim, what's going on with Mark? We've been praying. We need to know what's going on. We need an update.
Oh, nice.
So,
What a compliment.
Yeah, that is the kind of commitment, though, that our listeners have. This is they're here to minister and to support. So we appreciate that. Hey, you started to give us a little outline on your classes. You finished with class number one. We've only got about 6 minutes now to go over the remainder classes. So I want to have you summarize those for us.
Yeah, I would just say, as I was mentioning before the last break, we talk about identity in one of the sessions, the following session, right after loss. And the question is, who owns you, really? A person, place, or thing, or God? And so it's a confrontation, but look what's owned you in the past. Your past doesn't have to own you. Your poor choices, your family dysfunction, all that stuff doesn't have to own you, but you can be owned by God and having a relationship with Him. And so your identity is not in your incarceration, your past sins, or your DOC number, but it can be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that opens up the floodgates, right? So if they make that decision that they want to have a different identity, and, you know, they would say, of course, I asked them to show their hands. How many want to be defined by their DOC number? No, and of course, nobody. Mm-hmm. How many want to have a redefinition, a different identity? Everybody raises their hand. So there's a big, large percentage of people that come to Christ in session two. And as I mentioned, we talk about forgiveness in three. And then session four, we talk about, you know, how do I deal with the past? In other words, how can I move forward? And five is taking some practical steps. And the rest of those weeks are really helping them to plan, to think better, to start their plan right now, especially if they're getting out within 12 months.
Yes. Do you use volunteers at all, Mark, once people get out? Or are you plugging people into churches? How are they staying in the Christian community?
Great question. And there is a lot of stipulations and protocols and protections that departments of the corrections have in every state that limits volunteers in what they do. And so
for good reason, we should say.
No, absolutely. Reasonable reasons. If you go through the 8-hour training with the DOC to be a volunteer, so you got to go through 8 hours of training just to even be a volunteer. But it's to protect them. And so we're trying to connect them to a church, and I try to introduce them to, and the yellow volunteers, to the one of the pastors, okay, so they know who this person is, and because it's hard for them to connect. And so we try to connect them to churches that are like-minded, that are compassionate, that actually care about the person that comes in there that has a past like that. And so it's really the church. And it's to be the church what the church should be.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. What's your overall goal, Mark? I mean, you've had a lot of successes. You've got people that, I guess for lack of a better term, you can kind of keep tabs on and track, and they seem to be doing well, and you can check in with people, churches, pastors, and others that are mentoring. And is it, maybe somebody will jump me for this, but are men or women easier to work with that have been incarcerated, or is it the same?
You know, that's a good question too. I don't know if it is any different. I can't be definitive with that. Every workshop, the context is different. And by the way, the type of prison is different, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I go into a level four, a high violent place, then it's going to be a different audience, right? And the minimum prisons that are getting out. But I don't think there's a distinction with the genders. I don't.
Yes. Mark, do you see people that are not going to be getting out of prison that come to faith in Christ?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Life sentence, they're never going to get out, right?
Mm.
Some of my best friends are never going to get out of prison.
Really? But they have a life, and they've come to Christ, and they're whole people, and God has brought them health and restoration?
Absolutely. And you know what? They see their incarceration as a ministry. So they're there for the rest of their life to make a difference for Christ in their living unit, in the chow, you know, out in the yard, wherever they go. They see their mission statement is outside the doors of the chaplain's office. So they see the whole where they're living as their mission field.
I love that. Mark, tell us how our listeners can reach out to your ministry.
Yeah, they can go to startingoverworkshops.com and they'll see the Starting Over on the inside tab there. And so that'd be one way. I'm going to be risky here. And actually, if you don't mind, Jim, I'll put out my phone number.
Okay.
And they can actually literally call me. And that is 719-499-8293. And if you want, I can give them my email address. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, my email, my phone number also on the website, but they can go to mark@startingoverworkshops.com.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just want to make sure we get this in before we run out of time here. You can go to klyt.fm, click on the Starting Over Workshops banner, and it'll take you right to all of this information at Mark Sculver. Mark, we're out of time, my friend. We're looking forward to seeing you again, maybe talking to you. I know you're going to talk with Steve Ryman a couple times every week as you have a story to share or whatever. We'll have you on 2 or 3 minutes. But I want to get you back on for another hour, and we'll do that as we get into August, okay?
Perfect. Hey, Jim, really appreciate you, my friend. Thank you.
Good talking with you. Thanks, Mark. God bless.
Right, Jim. Thank you. God bless.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.